you know, obviously not ideal, especially coming off back-to-back losses. We just got to regroup. We got to get back to – we got to learn how to win again. You know, I think it's not as simple as that, but, you know, we got to get back to having fun. I think we playing a little timid, you know, a little like, tight. You want to win every game. And, you know, some things we got to change, some things we got to work on. But 22 and 10, 32 games, we got 50 left. That was some quick math. I went to Duke. And you got 50 games left, man. It sucks. You know, we got booed. You never want to do that, you know, rightfully so. But it's all about how we bounce back.
Another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. Joseph Pavone here, Sean Ducha, Joel Pavone back. What's up? And Celtics are still losing, guys. All right. Last week, they didn't help them whatsoever because all that positivity that we had for them.
Off the Lakers game,
off of the fact that this is like the biggest homestand in decades, you know, off the fact that they should have learned from that West Coast road trip. And they haven't put together any wins throughout this whole span.
I'm just gonna.
And I think the one loss that sticks out the most is the one against the Pacers.
Okay?
I don't even think it's close. Like, people can say what they want about the two Magic L's, but the one against the Pacers, man, like, that's a special way to lose.
Yeah, like, and they haven't won since.
I mean,
literally, they haven't won since that Lakers game.
No.
So you know what we're talking about? We're talking about if Tatum doesn't put together the best performance of the season. We would be talking about a six-game losing streak right now. Celtics have lost five of their last six games.
Hey.
Sean can't believe it. Look at it. He's been looking ahead this whole time. Didn't see this one coming.
I understand what's going on. The thing is that at least in the Boston market, it hasn't been as bad as what happened in Vegas for the Patriots.
Oh,
Ben.
That's true. So, you got to take that.
Oh, no, that's mind. Right. You're right. You're fresh off of your Vegas trip.
I'm fresh out of Vegas. I'm like, feeling I'm still, good. I'm
you made it.
I'm feeling good, so this. I mean, even that game, to me, I'm just like, the Celtics aren't doing that bad. Like, literally, like, a little three-game losing streak, but.
Well, yeah, that Monday morning, the Patriots were not even close. They were more the talk of the town.
Thank God.
What happened at the end of that Patriots game regulation was talked about way more than what the Celtics did.
Yeah.
So, Sean's like, the Celtics will make the playoffs, okay? It's guaranteed.
Patriots, probably, maybe. You never know. I still got faith. But anyways, the way I look at this three-game losing streak is a little bit of like just top dogs getting fat and happy, right? I mean, like, that's what I see. I'm a little bit worried about the shooting woes and the fact that I brought this up. I did bring this up about two or three podcasts ago about you live by how you shoot and you die by how you shoot. And I was a little bit worried about it because they weren't playing a great defense. Well, Real quick, though,
you also brought up the fact about two or three years ago that averages are averages, right? And that, let's face it, this historic average the Celtics had going those first month and a
was it sustainable?
First 2 months, it wasn't sustainable, right?
But
we didn't expect this type of drop.
No, especially, I mean,
the Celtics offensively, just for the month of December, they're the worst team in the NBA. Like, that's how fast that happened.
Jesus.
And we're what? We got a week left into the month, so this is not a bad sample size.
So I think a couple of things. My first point is the West Coast trip. Obviously was a tough one, and you got the Warriors, you got the Clippers, you got the Lakers. That's a tough three-game stretch away at the end of your West Coast trip. So it's not like the start, it's the end, and there's a little bit of slippage to understand there. But the fact that you got the Magic home twice in a row was like, I mean, we sort of talked about it a little bit of like, very much so a trap game, like a trap series. Like, there's going to be – you're going to have to play hard because the Magic play hard every night. They just don't have the talent to do it. But, I mean, the one thing that I can't stop thinking about is the Robert Williams factor. Like, the fact that they've been balling all year without Robert Williams and been able to play really good offense, really amazing offense, and everything's really revolving around the three-pointer, and you get a key cog back into your lineup that can't shoot the three, that changes your offense. As much as it's going to potentially help your defense, it changes your offense. And I feel like it's forced a little bit. Every time Robert Williams comes into the game, especially that first Magic game. The first Magic game, I think we talked about this when...
Yeah, they were trying to get him involved. I agree with you on that. There was plays set up for him, Marcus Smart, you know, especially the first lob. Everybody lost crazy, their mind,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean, Rob is obviously not 100%.
Yeah, I think he's helping the team more than he's hurting them, if anything. And he's working his way up.
So then we're going to be okay, because I think if
well, in that case,
I'm just saying, like, offensively, Rob is hurting us. He is, because I feel like when Rob's in the game, and what's he been playing, 15, 20 minutes a game, maybe
18, well, he
the 20 minute mark in this last outing, and I think he's looking better each time out, so that's obviously encouraging, but Yeah, and no, I'm with you. I think he looked a little bit lost at times. But if you look at this last game, it was interesting because I think it was like 3 minutes into the game, he completely lost Miles Turner on defense.
Big time.
Got an easy layup. But then it's like that moment forced him to sort of lock in. Because all of a sudden, he got a block at the rim. And then I think it was Brogdon actually found him down low for a nice pass, a dunk. A couple of dunks. The blocks got the crowd really into it. So he started making these impact plays and stretches where the Celtics really needed them, right? Because obviously he's not starting right now. He's not playing a whole lot of minutes, you know, but he's doing his best. And I felt like when the Celtics gave you that little bit of hope, you know, when they were able to get the lead down to six, which was at 30. So you have to give him credit for that. 41 point
and they came third back. Quarter. They came back. They came 41 back.
Point third quarter. And they didn't come back, though. That's the thing. I mean,
look. They came back a little bit.
But it was ugly, man. I think this was easily the worst first half of the season. 18-0 run. The Pacers tack on 41 first quarter points. They drained, 10 three-pointers. The Celtics coughed up 11 turnovers by halftime.
Brutal.
And
that's playoff, Matt. That's playoff Warriors shit. That's what we were doing in the Warriors game.
But then the thing is, like, after the fact, we played two quarters of really good basketball, though, which is like, but I thought we were past this.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, you guys losing games in this fashion is so last year. Like, you know
but,
what I mean? Like,
but so let me put it
this way. And for people who I'm quoting Joe Mazzulla, it was not verbatim here, but that's his attitude, to highlight the positives. And I get that. That's his thing. But I just think it reiterates the fact that the Celtics, this is really on them. There isn't going to be Joe Mazzulla is going to have to pull something out of his bag of tricks, or he's going to have to find a new approach. No, this is on them. And that's not the worst thing in the world, but it's like, how is this thing going to pan out, you know?
So I think this, like, if the fact that Rob came back for this Magic
right, we got double. Jalen too, remind me.
Yes. But the Magic doubleheader and then the Pacers, right? Like, Rob is really a piece that will make an impact in a 7-game playoff series, right? Like, he could potentially win you two games in a 7-game playoff series just with his defense alone, pretty much. So
that's what he was doing. Remember, he was
right.
He was on a minutes restriction. He was considered day to day throughout.
And
the entire
you knew, like, if he didn't play, we're fucked. If he did play, we're good. That was that whole thing. Yeah. But then, like, bringing him back for these three games, like, and incorporating him back, and it's a little bit clunky. I think, like, part of me is like, if this was against the Heat, if this one's against the Bucks, if this was against the Nets, I think that it would have been a much more of an impactful, like, comeback.
Yeah. See, my thing is, I don't think it matters who they're facing. I think it's a matter of, oh, we've done this before, so it'll just click. But the shots will start falling. Don't worry, right. Just keep shooting.
Yeah.
And I don't like that mentality. Even though they're not terrible looks, they're open shots, I still hate seeing the Celtics use, you know, 8 seconds of the 24-second shot clock, or, you know, the first open look they get, they're taking it. And those misses are turning into easy layups for the other team because they're not getting back in time. Like, it's just like this ongoing cycle. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, you're not going to guard
Tyrese Halliburton, who's wide open from behind the arc.
I was just about to say that. Like,
okay. even Tyrese looked at everyone like, are you guys kidding me right now? Like, boom, another three. He drained six of them. Like,
the problem is that, like,
laziness is gonna help any team. It doesn't matter who you're playing against.
You weren't getting beat by Miles Turner. You were getting beat by Halliburton, and you were getting beat by
– and you were getting out-hustled by Miles Turner.
And Paolo Banchero was
– during that two-game series.
Balling up against that against as well.
Yeah. It wasn't – you know who wasn't balling, though?
Bobo, I know.
Bobo Weekend.
Sorry, I didn't throw that in there. Yeah, Bobo Weekend.
Bobo had a – he was a batting Friday Bobo, night, the Bobo, first game.
Bobo averaged 12 points and about damn near 10 rebounds over that two-game series. So,
which is about what he averages.
Yeah, which is whatever. He didn't go off of 40 like I thought he may, but at the same time, he still had a very impactful series. But
and with that, we'll conclude our Bobo conversation here on the College of Sea podcast.
No, but in all seriousness, there's no cohesiveness for the Celtics on both ends of the floor right now. People look lost on defense, and on offense, it's a lot of the old habits from a season ago. Right? They, like you said, it's either you're popping the first shot early in the shot clock, or there's a lot of dribbling. The ball is sticking. It's not popping. Guys that were normally making the shots in the first, 20 or so games, like Derek White.
Derek White has been garbage.
Grant Williams, like they're not making their shots now.
Yeah, did you hear me? As soon as he said Derek White, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. No, Derek White is the one guy that I'm like, yo, like, don't, to be honest with you. You
ready for this? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I will say my part, then you say your stats, because I know stats
are great. You know I had stats.
Because
yeah.
He said, ready for this?
Not ready for this.
But Derek White was actually playing probably the best basketball that he's played in a Celtics uniform to start the season. And it wasn't
whether he was so coming off the bench or starting too. So
it wasn't so much consistent, like he's putting up this many points a game, but I would say he was
impacting the game.
I don't know the stats, but the minutes per game, he was playing very well. And when he stopped playing, all of a sudden he stopped being able to score. Grant stopped being able to score. You didn't get any bench contribution from other than Brogdon. All those guys. Yeah. Brogdon, right?
Other than Brogdon.
Brogdon's consistent.
Yeah.
But then like
he can't be your only bench player that's scoring though.
Yeah. So let me hear the stat on Derek White.
You're on, Sway.
13 points in the last three games of this Celtics homestand, right? Throughout that span, 2 for 19 from the floor.
That's not good.
2 for 19.
You don't say.
And the fact that he's only taking 19 shots over three games, that's also not good. Yeah. That means he's scared.
Well, I mean,
that means he knows he doesn't have it. Well, and Derek White is playing a lot of, I want to see the minutes that he's playing.
But that's going to be my next point. What if, and the rotation, everybody's minutes has gone down because they're trying to fit Robert Williams back in. Because he's coming off the bench. He's not a starter right now. He's coming off the bench. And there's some nights that Derek White starts and some nights that he doesn't. Marcus Smart was out. I mean, they decided to go with Payton Pritchard.
See,
he's also 0 for 9 throughout that stretch from behind the arc. He hasn't made a three since the Lakers.
So he came into into that stretch being over a 40% shooter from three.
Yeah. Because remember, we talked about this. Other than outside of Jalen Smart and Tatum, guys like Horford, Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, even Grant Williams, we're all shooting for over 40%.
Now
behind the arc.
He's shooting 21.6 for the month of December.
Yeah, that's another big part of their offense, and they're not hitting their threes right now.
Now he's down to probably like a 37% three-point shooter. Anyways, I want to hear Jaylen Brown take because I'd like to – see what's going on.
I just think it's obviously he's in a rough spot right now, right? I mean, whether it's the turnovers, whether it's just him trying to find consistency on offense overall. I mean, there's a lot of things you can complain about when it comes to Jaylen Brown. And I feel like this performance against the Indiana Pacers was like it's up there as one of his worst ones I've seen this year.
So
to credit the Pacers, they did their homework. They got the tape out on Jaylen Brown because not only were they taking away the space, not only did they know like where he was going and the two-step thing that he does, but they were slapping the ball away from him. They were making him uncomfortable. He was rattled. They were taking away his space. It was like they just had the skinny on him. And then he did that thing that he used to do last year where he starts to just check out.
Yeah.
And Tatum was just like, all right,
I'm going to go into Tatum mode. He got slapped across. Tatum got slapped across the face, and he went into angry mode. And I love that because he just starts scoring like his life depends on it.
Yeah.
And Jaylen just faded to black, whatever. It is what it is. He had his spots where he tried to help out. It didn't work out. But the overall vibe that I got from the team was almost as if like they were like, let's try to do this with as minimal Jaylen touches as we can. I don't think that's good. Again,
but it reminds me of last thing, year. Or is that a team thing? I think that's a Jaylen thing.
It could be. It could be both.
No, I think that's more of a Jaylen thing. I think Jaylen,
clearly he's sort of not like to what Joel's saying, being as a cohesive unit. It was like everybody else was doing their best to help a team that's playing a pickup game, right?
Right.
And I feel like out of all the players, especially in that stretch, Jaylen was like the biggest outsider.
All right. What about the Marcus Smart factor?
No Marcus. That's true.
No Marcus again in the Pacers game. So, you know, the ball handling duties is like by committee. It seemed like that.
That's why he got Brogdon.
But Brogdon, you're going to up his minutes?
Like, yeah.
I think there's a reason why he's your sixth man, because they want to make sure that his minutes are capped at a certain level because he's been known as an injury prone player.
Sure.
But Pritchard got the start though.
And Pritchard got the start, right? Yeah. So, you know.
and you can guess. Yeah, he gave you nothing.
Yeah. I think 1-3 in the second half.
So my big thing about Jaylen is like, okay.
Oh yeah, I got another thing too, but go ahead.
I got more.
Yeah. If Jaylen isn't aggressive.
I don't even want to tell you Pritchard's numbers.
If Jaylen isn't aggressive,
negative
15. Then I think that teams can literally be like, okay, Tatum, you beat us. If Jaylen isn't going to be engaged in this game, we're fine. Like, as long as you can't go sit down on the bench and Jaylen can take over the game just as much as you did, we're fine. Like, we're going to be okay. If they can shut Jaylen down early, then and he checks out, then that's a major red flag.
Well, he also found other ways to impact the game because he has been coming up with double digit rebounds the last four games.
I was going to say the performance overall, it wasn't terrible, but again,
it's all about scoring.
Well, not just all about scoring, but just again, like the way he was just sort of like just not involved last quarter when they needed him.
I hear that, but I'm saying like if Jaylen Brown wants to rebound. And Jaylen Brown wants to impact the game in different ways, that's fine. But who else is going to score to keep us in the game? The whole point, the whole thing about the Celtics is that you got two elite scorers that can literally take you down anytime. And you know there's been quarters that have been Jaylen Brown quarters. And then the next quarter, you know, it's going to be a Tatum quarter.
Yeah. I just want to say real quick, 19 points, 8 for 23. 1 for 5 from deep, but then, he also had the 10 rebounds. So it was a double-double, but, I mean, 4 turnovers. Again, just getting trapped, just out of sync. We got out of sync Jaylen right now.
He didn't look like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. No, okay, yeah. Granted, you're right, but Tatum didn't look like Tatum in the first half either. So.
But then he put up 41.
No, you're right. But my point is the Celtics were the reason why the Celtics were so good in the first 22 games is because – the other guys knew their role. The other guys were scoring. They're not doing that right now.
May I make one point real quick?
Well, hold on real quick. Okay. But when that doesn't happen, so then Jaylen and even Tatum, to a certain extent, they say, well, I guess it's up to us to play hero.
I know what you're saying, and I agree with you, because the reason why the Celtics were a historically great offensive team was because what you're saying. But I think we've known this team enough to know that if Jaylen and Tatum aren't both balling out in the same night and going to be able to put up 25-plus points a night, this team will struggle to win big games. And if you don't have both of them engaged, and there's been times where Tatum has been off, right? It doesn't matter who it is. But if you don't have both of them going for a combined 60 points, this team will struggle to win games. They just will.
Especially the other guys are not knocking down shots.
Well, the other guys were knocking down shots, and that's why this team was historically great. And I think, like, role players will come in the playoffs and you short your rotation and things will be fine. But you need 60 from Jalen and Tatum. If you don't get 60 from Jalen and Tatum, especially in the regular season, especially in the doldrums of the regular season, you're gonna struggle to win games.
What do they shoot from three, Celtics, as a team? Because
meanwhile, you did get 60 from Jalen Tatum, but Tatum had to pull. You want to get that?
I think the better.
Okay, 60 plus.
Better question is, how did the Pacers shoot from three? Because that
was season high for them.
Yeah, they finished with 18.
Yeah, they suck at 3 points.
They're like 50% from three, right?
Almost. Yeah, 46.2, but they're pretty much shooting 50% throughout the entire game.
Right, and then they had a bad stretch at the end there where it was garbage time.
Yeah, I guess. And then the Celtics.
Sure.
The Celtics went 13 for 41. So they're 31.7% from
Okay. So that's not good. For Celtics standards, that is not good.
And Tatum and Horford were the only ones that scored more than two.
Mind you, they only lost by five. All right. Granted, there was a 30-point hole that they had to climb out of.
I mean, 5 points felt like 700 points.
Yeah, but see, and that's another guy too. Hauser hasn't been hitting his shots.
He's been off. Okay, I'm gonna put it here. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both need to get on the same page of being like, every single game we need to be balling. And if Marcus Smart, Al Horford, or Malcolm Brogdon aren't playing, either any one of them are not playing in the game, they need to go for 65 points, 70 points, something like that. And, like, you didn't have Marcus Smart in that Pacers game.
I think depending
you
on
you didn't have Al Horford in that first Orlando game, right? You didn't have
– you did, but, yeah, you got ejected.
You missed – yeah, you got ejected. Oh, yeah, you nailed the guy in the nuts. Which, by the way, Anna Horford's tweet was great. That actually summed it up.
What did she say?
She was like, it just looks like a – veteran telling a young guy to stop kneeing me in the fucking back of the fucking.
Yeah, we gotta get Anna back on. She's actually gonna be in town soon. She's celebrating her birthday soon, next month. So
shout out to Anna.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Big 3-0.
This is how I'm gonna break this down.
Al's getting up there when Anna's 30.
Yeah.
It's like shit.
I'm not worried about the Celtics woes.
Papa Horford.
I just think that what the Celtics need to do is they need to then now understand that when you're the best team in the league, you have to bring your A game every single time. Mm. And not only Tatum can't just get mad and score 41. And how many have in the second half? Like
28.
28 in the second half?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jason.
Doug Collins has said this on every single fucking game we've seen him call. The NBA is a first quarter league. It's a first quarter league. You got to come out. You got to play well in the first quarter, and you got to establish yourself, especially in the regular season. You have to establish yourself. And sometimes I feel like that's Tatum and Brown time. And they have been.
But what if the Celtics had won this game? Like, are we still bringing these things up?
If the Celtics win this game,
like that's the biggest, one of the biggest comebacks of the season.
If the Celtics win this game, we're still sitting here saying the Celtics lost 4 out of 6 and they barely won the last one, and they won against the Lakers, who suck. So, like, I mean, the 6-game stretch has not been favorable for the Celtics at all. I mean, that was a very winnable game against Orlando the first time. You go up 14-4 and you just fucking start leaking like a sieve, Doug. that was awful. When you get up 14-4, and then Tatum was balling, and then all of a sudden,
what about the 18-0 Pacers run in that first quarter?
I hear that. So that game would have been a lot more. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna put it this way, very blatantly. If you lose to the fucking Orlando Magic, 2 games in a row, both at home,
one without Tatum, by the way, what do you think about that?
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with that.
Such a dad. Spoken like a true dad.
Yeah, of course. Fifth birthday.
I'm surprised you're not bringing up the fact that, well, Orlando, you know, had been playing well coming into the, you know, the garden. Six games in a row that they won?
Sean would be like, "Let's go, Orlando. I'm taking the night off. I'm out."
No, especially because you got a guy like Jaylen Brown who you're like, "Hey, I'm not sure if you saw, but the first All-Star shit came out And Jalen and Jason are both in the fucking starting lineup, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, we don't know for sure, but
in the first patch of voting, they're in the starting lineup.
On the first return, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. So just gonna put it out there. Maybe an all-star could beat fucking the Orlando Magic by himself. But if they can't, then we'll figure this shit out.
So after the loss, we're told at the podium we're going to get, well, it goes without being said. I was going to say Joe Mazzulla, but we're getting Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Malcolm Brogdon's going to be talking in the locker room. Malcolm talks in the locker room.
Yep.
Tatum hits the podium. Jaylen Brown went home. He left. Now, I don't criticize players when they do that, but my thought is always, well, what triggered it? Just the loss altogether? Was it something that he didn't like what happened throughout the game, that maybe he hoped, or was he just disappointed in himself? Like that the reason why this type of thing drives people crazy, because it's like we don't know exactly what it is. We won't until he speaks again.
So. I hope what it is Marcus Smart gutting his fucking asshole. I hope Marcus Smart was like, because he needs that.
I'd prefer if he's just mad. He's just mad at himself. Yeah, like whatever it takes for him.
He's at home sick. What do you in his ass? He wasn't even at the arena.
He probably called him. You know, FaceTimed his ass. Like
FaceTime his ass.
Or
he's not like you, bro. He's not freaking drinking and watching the game, bro.
I think or it's so on, like Jaylen. For me, this has been a thing about Jaylen Brown since he's been here. Is like there's something there that just like I don't know.
Yeah, you're always like you're always skeptical on it.
There's something, and you both can attest to this. I was
just when we think you know you're on the Jaylen train.
I am. You got one foot
off. You just want to jump off completely.
I'm trying so hard, but I also think that like that type of move. You know what that type of move is? What type of move is that? What type of move is you had a bad game and you don't come to the podium?
Not a champion move.
That's a Kyrie Irving move.
Wow. I think it's a coward. Like, I don't want to call him coward.
That's a Kyrie Irving move. I'm just saying. How many times were you covering the team where the team didn't do very well and Kyrie did something and he walked off, stormed off, had a bad night, pow-powed
waited like 2.5 hours
to speak to us. Yeah, to come back out. Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, Jaylen Brown... I am hoping is how I think he is, which is a like activist, great basketball player, team guy. Hope he is all those things. But then there's times like that just sort of, you just start to think and you're just like, is he? Like, I can't like Tatum for everything that people want to talk about Tatum. For saying that he isn't, you know, as passionate as he should be, cares about losses as he should be, you know, as involved as he should be in the Kobe thing and all this stuff in Boston versus Lakers, whatever. He still shows up. Like, I know he missed the game because of his son's fifth birthday.
Unless his son's turning 5.
Well, it's his son's fifth birthday. You only get that one time, bro. I don't care about that.
And the next year he's going, oh, it's his 6th birthday.
Well, if Jaylen Brown.
No, it's his 7th.
I mean, you only get the one. You only if get the
Jaylen, if Jaylen well, Brown. It wasn't even the day of his damn birthday, all right?
If Jaylen Brown.
And not for nothing. Birthday parties are way better on Saturday than Sunday.
If Jaylen Brown had said, hey, I'm not going to the podium because it's my son's birthday. No one have a fucking problem.
I don't know about that.
And you know what? Al Horford.
Will he do that after the win?
Don't
I doubt it.
Don't get this shit twisted because Al Horford missed about what?
5 games.
Five out of the 6.
At least 5 games.
Health and safety protocols, which I told you I knew was health and safety protocols. Hey,
you're talking about
the road trip.
He quarantined.
I thought you were making a kid joke.
No,
one of those games because
he quarantined.
Yeah.
To go see his kid be birthed.
Two of the games was because he went, the birth of his daughter. And the first game of that road trip that he missed was because it was a back-to-back. He doesn't do back-to-backs. It was the second ever back-to-back. And the next two was because of the health and safety protocol.
So he could go to the hospital to see his baby born.
Yeah.
I mean.
Nah, I think that second one was just went on underneath the 5 days.
I
the quarantine. if he was available, he wouldn't have been available. I got you.
Whatever. You see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
But I mean,
something about Jaylen Brown is a little bit off, and I don't know what it is. And I will never. I think Jaylen is like.
But see, the same thing.
Bought in, but I'm just at the same time. No, but
the
same
way you just brought up Tatum, I'm like, you know, the different. I don't know if you want to call them excuses or whatever when things don't go well, and then when it comes to Jaylen, it's like, no, it's got to be this. It's got to be because it's because he doesn't care or because he's in his no. I can chalk it up as he had a bad night.
Tatum's a better player than Jaylen, so he's got a lot more leeway.
But see, that's not how the Celtics think.
Well, I think that way, and everyone thinks that way.
But that's not how the Celtics think. The Celtics are the ones that believe that these two are going to, you know, lead this team into a championship.
Marcus thinks that way?
What do you mean?
Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart thinks win what way?
Marcus Smart thinks that Tatum and Brown are equal, and both of them should have the same type of excuses when things go wrong.
But that's not what I said. I said that these two players are the ones that are going to lead this team to a championship, mm-hmm. and everyone else are compliments to these two.
Well, that's why I'm buying into Jaylen and trying to say, like, hey, he is the X factor for us to win a championship this year. So if he can't perform night in, night out, and take over when Tatum has an off night or anyone has an off night, like then we have a problem. Well, that's all I'm saying.
If Jaylen said the things that Tatum would say, I think more people would have a problem with Jaylen saying it versus Tatum. Because Tatum is on the whole, it's 50 games left in the season. Like it's not the end all be all.
I would love to hear that from Jaylen Brown.
You would love to hear that from Jaylen Brown.
I would.
I doubt it.
We had a bad night. I'm here facing.
I think you prefer that than nothing.
Yes. Facing the media. I'm here going to sit here and be like, hey, we had a bad night. This isn't the team we are. Like, whatever. Like, okay. Instead, he scurries away. That's not cool.
All right. Well, let's see what he has. Let's see what the schedule has in store for Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the Celtics. We'll see what if Marcus Smart will be back in the lineup. I know he's dealing with a non-COVID illness, so hopefully he's feeling better. But
probably the flu. The flu's going around like crazy right now.
Yeah, guys. It really is.
Well, he's been upgraded to questionable. So,
To be honest with you guys, he's been sick for like 2 weeks, man. Like he's been coughing up a storm since I saw him in Chicago. So like he's been on and off of in terms of how severe it's been, but.
Yeah,
not non-COVID related is always good news.
Yeah, no, not for nothing. During like flu season, Smart, he's guaranteed to miss a few games every season.
And
yeah,
you know what?
Gets sick. He just gets sick.
Yeah. You know what? I'm so happy that they're putting Smart, like putting him down.
He's passing them blunts, you know?
No, but pass the blunts. Pass the blunts with your own crew. Don't pass it to the Celtics, because every time Smart gets sick, the whole team gets sick over the past like 3 years. Have you guys noticed that shit? Maybe you don't share the blunt. You fucking take a joint to the face. You know what I mean? Like,
everyone get their own and just fucking chill outside. You got to pack. And
go outside, which they won't do. They won't fucking go outside. They hang inside.
Like, act like the millionaires that you guys are.
Yeah,
and do it smart. Okay,
you know what it is? It's probably the other guys. It's the crews. You know,
yeah,
some kid who hangs out with them all the time.
Yeah, the yes men
passing COVID around to everybody.
Anyways, are we looking ahead?
Yes.
All right.
Question is, are you looking ahead?
I am looking ahead. And tonight, Celtics, Timberwolves, in the Garden, could be the biggest swindle of Danny Ainge's career is for the 5 first-round draft picks he got for Rudy Gobert, who everyone on Minnesota hates. Fans, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards all hate him. He is the worst player in basketball. And I was on it first. Mr. COVID himself. Timberwolves.
Patient zero.
You can't stand that guy.
I know. I can't stand him, and I don't even know him. You know what I mean?
You see this guy's face, you just get angry.
You meet a guy you think you won't like, and you're like, oh, you know, he's all right. I really feel like I meet him and be like, I was right.
You're not a fan of Gobert?
No. And then Okay, so let's be honest. The biggest game that's going to be going on Christmas Day is Bucks Celtics, which happens at they got the 8 o'clock spot, which is interesting.
Wait, Bucks Celtics are at 8?
They're at 8.
They're at 5, bro.
They're at 5.
Dude. Are you still on like
Vegas time? Vegas time?
Are you still? Your phone hasn't converted yet? I thought you. Oh man, you just messed with me so hard. I just got so mad for a second.
Yeah, I really.
That's my fucking day, right? Did they just fucking switch it? I was like, what?
I just couldn't read my phone.
For weeks I've been saying 5's not bad. 5's not bad. At the morning,
be better chill. If it was at 3:30.
Do the game, come back home, we can still chill, grab some drinks, you know,
yeah,
chill
with the family. You'll be back, what, by like 9?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah. 10 the latest, far before 10.
Because it's Christmas and I am a big Santa Claus fan, okay? I'm not just going to give you the look ahead. I'm going to give you the Christmas Day spread, dude.
Hey, let's go.
I'm
going to
give you the Christmas Day spread.
It's the season, fellas.
There is nothing, and everybody with kids out there knows there's nothing better than a 12 p.m. Christmas tip-off after you've been awake since 5 a.m. When your kids get up, you had the coffee, you've been up since 3 because you forgot to wrap a couple things, you wake up, you get the coffee, your kids get up, and then about 9 o'clock, things die down, right? The kids are fed. They got the presents. You're sitting there like, can I go back to bed? But you can't. You actually can't because you got to anticipate the family coming over. Yeah.
You can't be that guy still sleeping.
Yep. So at noon, you are going to see a great game at noon. Philadelphia 76ers versus the New York Knickerbockers. And I think the Knicks.
They're on a roll right now.
Knicks are balling. Knicks are balling.
Go New York. Go New York.
Hey, and I'm a big Brunson guy.
That's your guy.
Also, Randall has been playing some of the best ball he's ever played in his entire career.
No, the Knicks are balling. And you know who else is creeping up the standings in the East?
Oh, tell me who. Oh, I know who you're going to say.
The freaking Brooklyn Nets.
The Brookies. Oh,
did you talk about the Timberwolves?
We did talk about the Timberwolves. And we said that Rudy Gobert was the worst player.
Oh, Gobert, that's right.
So.
For like a split second, I was like,
"Would you pay attention?"
For a split second, I was like, "That's the Jazz, bro."
And then, okay, so that is a legitimate good game. You would watch that at 7 p.m. on any night on League Pass, or if it was on ESPN, you'd watch that game. And I think that the only thing that Philly only wins that game if Embiid goes for 50, because Philly's so banged up right now. And New York is on a little bit of a tangent. They're going off, man. They found their stride.
Yeah.
And I am semi rooting for the New York Knicks right now because Jalen Brunson's my dude. I think Julius Randle's the most underrated basketball player in the NBA.
This guy really likes Randle.
And
the Knicks have a chip on their shoulder because they got a draft pick taken away for tampering.
And I'm going to start my parlay of Christmas games, which I do every year, with the Knicks winning, whatever the spread is. I do money line at all. Knicks going to win that game. Then we got the 2:30 game. Lakers-Mavericks in Dallas, which the Lakers are falling off, not being on the PM side of things, like the nighttime side of things. But Luka versus LeBron, that's a marquee matchup.
Yeah, it should be a good one, especially for, you know, Christmas Day. I'm sure LeBron brings A game. But will the Lakers win it, though? Who knows? You never know what team's going to show up.
I got Mavs. Home, Mavs. I got Mavs.
Well, there's no Davis, so that's an easy one.
No Davis, yeah. Yeah,
he's out for at least a month. And there goes my fantasy team.
Yep.
No wonder I got him in the fifth
round. Then Bucks Celtics at 5 p.m., so not 8 p.m.
Which is what we told you, yes.
I mean, Bucks Celtics is probably the biggest battle of like legitimate teams right now, but where the teams sit, Grizzlies, Warriors. That's a great 8 p.m. game because no Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane's out now.
Yeah. My fantasy team's really falling in shambles.
What's your deal, guy? With
the Warriors, guys?
It's in shambles, man.
The Warriors have been a little bit suspect at best, but they've turned it on after
it's been all downhill since they beat.
Yeah,
it's all good. They're playing at home.
Yeah.
They're like,
so that'll be fine.
They're like 3-16 on the road, but they've only lost like twice at home. So it's all good.
They only like to, they take care of home court.
Exactly. Like if every game was at home, they'd be undefeated.
And then the night game is where we fucking really get drunk and watch some fucking basketball.
Come by. Come through.
We got Suns, Nugs, 10:30. Let's fucking go.
That's a good one.
Late night. You got Jokic. You got Book, Ayton. Chris Paul's back in the mix. Jamal Murray.
Cameron Payne.
Camp. Oh, you want me to go on the Suns? I know all the Suns.
He's like, don't do it.
For some stupid reason, I've bet too many nights on the Suns at the 10 o'clock spot, and I've never won nothing.
She's still out?
No, Jamal Murray's fine, but he's not himself is what I'm trying to say. He's just he's playing the minutes, but he's not himself. So, okay. If I'm going to run down my parlay for Christmas, you guys tell me if I'm wrong.
You can just tell no one gives a fuck.
All right. Ready? I got Knicks. I got Mavs. I got Celtics. I guess I'll go Warriors because they're at home.
Celtics? I don't know.
Warriors at home. And then I'm going to take the Suns at night. That's my parlay. That's my five-team parlay to take over the world. How are you guys feeling about that?
Lock it in. Great.
I don't know what the Celtics want.
You don't think the Celtics are going to be the Bucks on Christmas Day?
The Bucks, man. The Bucks want the Celtics blood right now.
At home?
They want the Celtics blood.
Yeah, like the dude from telling Ron Burgundy and Anchorman. That's what's going on.
When he was talking about the San Diegans. Yeah.
He's like, the Greek freak's here and he wants the Celtics blood. Like, you know, they took that shit personally. Like, and now that the way the Celtics have been playing lately, we talked about this last week. Giannis knows. He keeps up with the score. He watches NBA TV every morning as much as we do. Like, so he's like, oh, this should be a good one. We'll send a message in front of everybody. First matchup of the season.
Plus, not only that, like any player in the league can be like, yeah, give me tape on Team X or Player X, and it's all good.
Yeah, that's true, Drew.
Also.
No, man, I don't know. Ever since he pushed that damn ladder in the post game from some staff worker just trying to do his job, I'm like, man, Giannis is on one right now.
It was in Philly.
Yeah, so Giannis feels the pressure. He's like, damn it, Boston's too good for me right now.
This is how we're going to do this. This is how we're going to do this.
Trez was like, yo, get the fuck out of here.
This is how we're going to do this. Okay? We're going to go Timberwolves, Bucks for the Celtics. What do we got? If somebody says 0-2, you're off the podcast.
1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
All right, I got 2-0.
But that's not going to be easy, that game against the Timberwolves.
I got 2-0.
No, I got 1-1. It's the Timberwolves that they lose to.
And I think Marcus wins. Marcus comes back. Marcus wins.
All right, I got 2-0.
Celtics, they're going to play 21 at the end of the game.
Celtics beat the Timberwolves and Marcus wins.
Marcus wins. Yeah. Marcus wins. Marcus.
They're going to play knockout, and then Marcus is going to win.
Yeah, Marcus is like, hey, I'm also doing a skills competition after the game for just fun. You know, Marcus wins. All right,
go 1, 2, 3,
and
go.
then I need your thoughts on my parlay. So this is the real thing. Do you go 5-0 or do you say I'm wrong? Because parlay is 5-0 or nothing. So Knicks, Sixers, who you got?
Sixers.
What?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
so I'll go Knicks.
All right, Knicks. Then you got Lakers, Mavs.
Mavs.
I'm gonna say Lakers in like a tight one.
So just
George,
so
George just goes against you.
Just so everyone knows
everything you say.
Joel is 0-2, yeah. And Sway is 2-0. Okay, this is crazy. All right, next is the Bucks Celtics, which I don't know who you're gonna pick. Celtics.
Yeah, Bucks.
All right, so we got Celtics 1-2.
So don't forget that they lost. They lost after being up by like 20, if I'm not mistaken, last Christmas.
All right, Warriors Grizz.
Know what? The Grizz, yo. Fuck the Warriors.
I mean, Steph is out, man. I'm probably going Grizz, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Why'd you guys fucking sell me on the Warriors, dog?
I didn't say shit.
You both sold me on the Warriors. And that last game.
No, man. You sold yourself.
Suns Nugs. Suns Nugs.
Yeah, that one. I was with you on that.
Suns Nugs.
I'm going to say Nugs.
Suns.
Okay. So, just to wrap this up. Joel thinks 1-1. Sway thinks 1-1. I think 2-0 for the Celtics. Joel thinks my parlay is going to be fucked in the...
Yeah, after the first game.
just totally blown the fuck up. He thinks I'm going to be four out of five wrong. Sway, you with me for three out of five. 3-2.
3 out of 5, yeah. The Celtics won and then the Warriors won. Oh, no, the Knicks won, right?
No, you had Knicks.
Oh, no, I had Knicks. You had
Suns, Celtics. Yeah. No, Knicks, Suns. Knicks,
Suns, Bucks.
Mavs.
Yes. Yeah, Lakers.
You have Celtics losing Lakers winning and the
Warriors
Grizzlies
losing. Winning. Yeah, Warriors losing.
Wild, guys. Wow.
Hey, I like that. A little Christmas version.
I can't wait. Let's all put some bets in. Let's all do a $10 parlay.
I'm good.
Anyways, what do we miss, Joel?
Yeah, it's about that time. Let's take a trip around the NBA.
There's been a lot of things that I've missed, but maybe you didn't miss, right? Did you think you missed everything that I missed, Sway?
Well, in case you missed it.
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 In case you missed it. Amari Stoudemire has apparently been arrested after allegedly punching his daughter in the jaw and drawing blood, according to the Miami Herald.
This is terrible.
Stoudemire told cops his daughter, quote, received a whooping for being disrespectful and a liar, end quote.
Oh, man, this is, I mean, look, you want the whole story. You want to know what happened, but let's be honest, it doesn't look good. I mean, the language I'm hearing that it was a punch, right? Like, what triggered a punch, you know? And you know, you could talk about her age, her being a teenager, but I don't know. Again, you have to get the full context to truly understand what happened. And it from the outside looking in, it doesn't look good at all.
Yeah, from my perspective, like, no matter how old your daughters are, you're still the dad. You right. can't do that shit. Yeah. Like, that, no matter if you're Amari Stoudemire to Michael Jordan to even me, you know what I mean?
If it's a 9-year-old or a 15, 16, 17, you just let them,
they fucking win when that shit happens. When those arguments happen, they fucking win. You walk away. That's it. That's why you're the dad. But I don't know. Amari Stoudemire, where is he coaching?
I don't think he's coaching. I don't know if he's still
in the Big 3. I thought he was with the Nets.
No, he was in the Big 3, and then he was still playing a couple of years ago. Nets.
That's a weird organization.
No, but not this year, though. No, this year not. Yeah.
Well, he was there last year in the playoffs. He was there
last year, yeah.
I'm just saying the Nets.
And he's got his Masters, too.
I don't know, man, that's the best track record.
I mean, by weird, I mean something that we're going to know the whole story, you know. Not that we know the whole story right now. I think something's going to be developed. It's going to be an ongoing story. Yeah.
All right, in case you missed it, Wally Szczerbiak, he apologized to Tyrese Haliburton for his comments about calling him a non-all-star, a wannabe all-star.
Yeah.
The reason why this is like making,
because everyone's mad at him. That's why.
Yeah, but no, because it was because of Matt Barnes, who called him out and said it was fucking bullshit. Like, he hates former players. Yeah. He's talking about how former players, he hates our former players. He
said it was a bitch ass move or something.
It was a bitch. Yeah, exactly what he said, actually. Yeah.
This bum ass motherfucker, Wally Szczerbiak, is just completely disrespecting. Yeah, exactly. Tyrese Haliburton, who's leading the league in assists, calling him a fake all-star and fake this and fake that. I'm just like, why? Like, what's the point of that? Like, what do you get out of that? But it's just like, I don't see why former players feel like it's their spot, or that does it make them feel better to disrespect these guys? Like, to me, this shit is super weak.
Like, he's leading the league in assists right now. And what is he, 20 points? 20-point scorer.
18 seconds left. Step back. Mr. Supposed wannabe fake all-star with the big miss. Last chance down 3 for the wannabe all-star. Let me keep it that way. He's in his second year. He's a very good player. He's not going to make the all-star team. A guy like Julius Randle or Jalen Brunson will make it over Tyrese Haliburton. Third tonight we saw why. Yeah. Oh, it's his third year?
Third year, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Okay. Right.
So that's like, yeah. So hold on.
The way he put it. Oh, you about to say right now?
I'm gonna read what Wally said.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'll tell you guys what right. Haliburton said.
Quote: I want to apologize personally to Tyrese Haliburton. Wonderful young player, definitely in the all-star conversation. End quote. So he didn't say.
So why did you say that? Like, why did you say a wannabe all-star if he's in the conversation?
Yeah, hold on.
By your standards.
What if Scal said that about Tatum 2 years ago? Would anyone be mad about that shit? I feel like Haliburton was traded for the best player in Indiana Pacer history since Reggie Miller, Sabonis. They traded Halliburton for him. They're not winning games. He's not a superstar. So Wally Zerbiak can say that. I'm not mad about it. I'm actually not mad about it at all. Even though
What's the final wannabe all-star? Like the way so
a wannabe all-star is the best player on the worst team. Like that's what the Pacers were.
Yeah, but see the
when
way
he I probably
see
said
it,
that.
The way I see it is the way Tyrese Halliburton said it. And it's like, when did I say I want to be an all-star? Or when was it like up for debate? Or when was it like a narrative out there being like, man, this guy should be an all-star, and they're not giving it to him. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
what did you do to Wally Zerbiak?
I have no clue. I know the name Wally Zerbiak. I couldn't tell you where he played. I couldn't tell you what he did as a basketball player. I don't know. He had a lot to say about me. I was really like questioning, like, first, who is this? And why is he talking about me like this? I don't know if I've ever came out and said, like, I want to be an all-star this year. Please vote for me. I don't think I've done that.
When he got traded for Sabonis, that was the whole thing, is that Halliburton is supposed to be way better than Sabonis. Everybody in that trade said, oh, who won the trade? Sabonis for Halliburton. Who won the trade?
Oh, everyone said Sacramento.
No, Indiana. Everyone said Indiana won.
Well, everyone said Indiana, but everyone said that
Sacramento's a better team now and they're winning games.
Hold on. Everyone said that, but everyone said that Sabonis was the clear-cut best player in the deal.
Yeah, but
and you know the old saying, the team that gets the best player of the deal most likely in the future will win the trade. So,
but the NBA,
but they need to make a decision.
How did they get Halliburton? How did Halliburton go?
Yeah, but they had to make a decision.
Fox.
They had a decision. They had to make a decision between Fox and Halliburton. Obviously, they picked Fox.
Well, in the clip where he calls him this, they're recapping the game. It was the Pacers against the Knicks, and Halliburton had a chance to send the game to overtime. So he misses the shot, and the Knicks win. So he's a color commentator for the Knicks, which I don't understand why, but anyways. Yeah, he is. So he's like, oh, yeah.
He played there for a bit.
Yeah, so of course, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But he's an Indiana guy, or Minnesota guy.
Yeah, Minnesota guy.
Yeah,
I was like, never played for Indiana. Like,
no, Indiana. He's making fun of them.
So yeah, so, you know, he's saying, oh, of course he missed, because he's a non-all-star. He's a wannabe all-star, and he just was just like, all that, and even his coworkers are like sitting there next to him, like, yo, like it's not that serious. You know, he's like, yeah, he missed a shot, but not because he's walking around saying, oh, I'm an all-star. Right. I'm a fucking, you know, I'm the man or whatever. He's like,
why don't you fucking take it easy there?
Take it easy, champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Maybe sit the next couple plays out. You know what I mean?
He's a wannabe all-star. He's a non-all-star. It's like, all right, guy. But anyways.
And by the way, he never played for the Knicks.
Yeah. So I think he's
I guess I was thinking about Cleveland. I don't know. Yeah,
he went from Minnesota to Boston, Boston to Seattle, Seattle to Cleveland. And then after that, I forget where he went. After Cleveland. I feel like he called it a career.
All right, I'll put it this way real quick. Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Trae Young. And then are you picking Halliburton over the...
What,
are you saying voting?
You're saying he's not an all-star?
No, but he's saying non-all-star because of his what he's been, how he's been playing, not because he's, you know...
What I'm saying is, like, there's no point guard all-star. It's two guards. So Jaylen Brown and Donovan Mitchell are going to win that shit over Halliburton, right?
What most likely.
Yeah, but that's for starting, though. Yeah, he's not going to be a starter, but he can still make the team.
Yeah.
Harden.
If you name five guards in the East that you think are flat out better than him, then okay, he's probably not going to make it.
Trae Young,
he should. He's not. He's not. He hasn't been the best teammate of late. But
I think you're going to look at Halliburton and Jaden Ivey, and it's the same thing.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and Halliburton gets a nod.
Yeah, but
because
Ivey,
he's a rookie.
Ivey will have chances, right? Exactly. All right, what else we miss?
All right, in case you missed it. The Basketball Hall of Fame announced the list of eligible candidates for the class of 2023. All right. And some high profile names include Pau Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, Greg Popovich, Dwayne Wade.
Damn, D Wade's in.
And the 1976 U.S. Olympic women's basketball team, just to name a few.
Nice.
Finalists for next year's class. I think all those names that I mentioned are probably going to get in versus anybody else.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're a lock.
Wait, Who's the best player in this Hall of Fame class?
Say it again.
Who's the best player in the Hall of Fame class? Say the names again.
He said, "Who's the best player?" God damn it, Pau Gasol.
It's probably Tim Duncan.
He's not in this.
As soon as I said that, I just pictured him with his Hall of Fame coat on. I was like, he definitely got in over there.
No, it's definitely Tim Duncan. No. When he's not in this.
He's definitely got in with fucking KG and Kobe, but all right.
He hasn't played in so long.
All right, Pau Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, it's Dirk, dog. Not even a, there we go.
What did I say Tim Duncan? Dirk Nowitzki. It's between Dirk and Wade, I guess.
Dirk. Okay.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Everyone's going to say Wade, though. People love Wade.
Yeah.
I never realized how many people thoroughly love Dwayne Wade until after Pierce said that shit about him being better. I was like, yo, people really love Wade.
Okay, Dirk or Wade?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's Dirk.
You kind of want to give...
Dirk's a better player. Wade have Wade was great.
I don't know, man. I was never a huge Dirk guy.
Let me... No, well, hold on.
Yeah, he's a better scorer.
D-Wade would have been a 5-year NBA All-Star without getting support. Dirk was an NBA All-Star with basically no support. He never had a LeBron. He never had a Bosh. He never had a Shaq dude on that team. Yeah, J.J. Barea. Damn right he did. And he had Jason Kidd, Sean Marion.
Northeastern's finest.
At their end of the career. Anybody that says Wade over Dirk, you're fucking dumb.
Right? Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. You say it's Dirk. Some people are going to, I agree with Sway. Some people are going to say it's Dwayne Wade, but.
Do you think it's Dwayne Wade?
I don't think it's Dwayne Wade, no. But.
Dirk or Dwayne?
I think people are going to think that Dirk is the best.
Who do you think?
I think Dwayne Wade's the better player. Overall player. And I get it. Yeah, he had help. I get it. I get all that. But was Dirk a good rebounder? No. Was Dirk a good defender at all? No.
Was he the first stretch four that ever took over the league?
Yeah.
The first stretch four was fucking...
Say someone better than Dirk.
KG.
No. No. No! KG brought it back to... No. Come on. Do the next thing. We'll talk about this later. KG or Dirk, best stretch four? I got you on everything.
All right. Speaking of the Basketball Hall of Fame, this week marks 131 years that the sport of basketball has been alive.
Shout out to James Naismith.
All right. The GOAT.
Shout out to James Naismith.
Okay, the GOAT, Springfield, Massachusetts. Y'all two went to college in Springfield. Y'all know what this shit's about.
No, we stepped on that soil.
Y'all been to the fucking Hall of Fame and shit.
What's the hall called? A lot. Not, no. What
you talking about?
Over the radio, the old radio station used to be in.
You talking about on campus? Oh, where he created basketball. Yeah.
The one,
Judd Gymnasium.
Judd.
J-U-D-D.
He says what I said. Judd.
He goes, Judge. Judge.
Judge. Yes.
Yep. That's what the old radio station used to be.
Okay.
The first YMCA was in there too.
So do you guys know how the first game of basketball ever ended?
No.
How it ended? No, I don't know.
All right. So
I know they had those peach baskets.
Each team had 9 players. Peep this. 9 players. And they played for 30 minutes. And guess what the final score was?
4-3.
1-0.
What?
And after that, ball became life.
And after that, Michael Jordan was like, yo, I got this.
So I'm gonna leave it at that. This is how I'm wrapping up this edition of this Christmas edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms.
Yes.
At Causeway Street.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Check out causewaystreet.com for your Celtics news.
Happy Hanukkah.
And opinions, of course. Happy Hanukkah to those that celebrate.
Absolutely.
Kyrie, happy Hanukkah.
And check out check out Causeway After Hours on Patreon. That's patreon.com/causeway for exclusive content, including the one-on-one podcast with Sway, where he has exclusive interviews with players, coaches, you name it, all from the vault. Also have the After Hours podcast, where we talk about everything, not just sports. We talk about life. And we also give away jerseys. So you're doing yourself a favor if you subscribe. And you'll be also supporting a great podcast, which is the Causeway Street Podcast, right? In the process. So we appreciate all that. Until next time, you know, be safe. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa for those that celebrate.
Yes.
Happy holidays.
Everybody enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the time with your family. Man.
We'll squeeze in one more episode before 2022 is done, you know?
And happy 2023.
You ready to hear? Peace.